that God's word makes very clear to us that there is strength that comes when we unite together. When we come together and say, we have power together. And so today, as we continue through our current series on God's plan for money, we're going to talk very specifically about sharing, and that sharing is building. A strong church requires strong pieces, and the old adage is often said that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. That didn't make sense to me for a long time. And then sometimes on the farm, we'd use chains. And suddenly that made more sense. You realize that it broke at its weakest link. We recognize that we have an opportunity as part of a church to build a chain, to build a team, to build something together. Now, as we talk today, you may understand as we're talking about sharing, we're going to also be talking about your sharing to the church and your giving. Let me tell you, this is one of the most difficult messages I can preach as a pastor, because when I start talking to you about what you give to the church, it sounds like I'm asking for a raise. And to tell you the truth, I'm so thankful for what you give to support my family. But if this morning you all together give $100,000, my salary doesn't change. I don't go in proportion. We certainly don't go in proportion as to how well the sermon was, because then I wouldn't make any money. But the whole point is that we look and we say, this is not a sermon that's easy for me as a pastor, because I don't want it to seem like I'm begging for money. But at the same time, I want you to know, this is actually a really easy message for me to preach. Because even if I wasn't a pastor, I have learned lessons throughout my Christian walk about how God is generous towards me. How many times my life has been blessed because I simply gave to God what belonged to God. And there was something about that. And so today, as we look through this message together, I want you to understand this continues to go through the idea that stewardship is us showing oversight and not ownership in regards to everything that God has given to us, including when it comes to our giving. Our big point for today is simply this: sharing builds our faith and the kingdom. It builds our faith and the kingdom. So I want us to see today a proper perspective when it comes to sharing what God has entrusted to us. Take a look, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. Now, this collection that they're talking about for Jerusalem was vital. You had people in Jerusalem who were starving to death. You had a terrible famine. It had hit Jerusalem, and it was also hitting Christians in a very particular way, because they were viewed as being a part of some sort of weird outside religion. The Jews didn't like them. The Romans didn't like them. And so they had to band together to have some sort of support to get through this. And so these churches, the churches, were called upon to help provide support. Now, when you look again at verse 1, it shows one way to view our sharing in church. Look at verse 1 again. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints. You know, alone, your gift to the church may seem small. You may feel like you're just the kicker. Well, what I give doesn't make any difference. If I don't give, it won't be noticed by the church. It's not so much about whether or not it's noticed by the church. It's about whether or not you are following what God has called you to do. So many times people think that they need to do what I tell them to do. And I want you to understand, my job as a pastor is not to set your personal convictions for you. You have to figure those out on your own. If you want to ask me my conviction on a certain area, I will tell you, because I agree with 99% of everything I think. And I want you to know, that took way too long, all right. But I want you to understand, well, the other 1% is whatever my wife tells me to think. So I want you to understand, I can share with you what God has shared with me, but you have to set your own convictions. Because otherwise, someone says, what do you think? You tell them, they say, why do you think that? Because Pastor Heath told me to. Does that sound like something that people who don't know anything about Christ want to be a part of? Oh, so I got to come in and someone tells me what to do? Well, Jesus will, but it's a little bit different relationship. So you look here and you see this understanding, this collection. Your gift may seem small, but it makes an impact. In 2014, I had this thought, what if I could get people just to give $5 to help out small ministries? And I tried doing this through Facebook, and my friend Kenny, who runs a nonprofit coffee shop in Columbus, Ohio, where the profits go to help people get out of human trafficking, help with clean water, things like that. I said, Kenny, I don't know anything about this. I want to give it a shot. Let's see what happens. So for a month, we asked people, would you donate $5? At the end of that month, Kenny told me they had raised $2,130. Now, did everyone who gave just give $5? Probably not. There were probably a few that gave more than that, but a lot of those were just $5 contributions here and there. And we saw that in the course of a month, people said, you know what, I could donate $5 to that. Sounds like something that would really be worth my time. So you see that no matter the size of the contribution, it's not about the how much. It's about the heart. It's about why do you give something? Why did you receive something? Did somebody really love you, or did they give it to you because they thought they had to? We look and we see this. So I just want to say to you, first of all, as the pastor of this church, thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. I've been a part of churches where I could only be a part-time minister and I had to work another job. And it's just a blessing to me to be able to spend my days not only preparing for these messages, but meeting you, talking to you, praying for you, getting out in our community. Thank you. It's an awesome blessing, and I appreciate that you do that. But we see in this passage also that sharing is building our faith. Look at verse 2. It says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. Now this gets into the idea of an offering. And sometimes people say, well, what exactly is an offering? Why should I give it? What is the purpose of it? When you take a look at 2 Corinthians 9:15, this is the next letter that Paul writes to these people, and he's talking about our giving, and he says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible, indescribable, amazing gift. What is he saying? He's saying we give because God has given. And not just God has given, but God has given us something amazing, something we can't even acknowledge how great it is. He's given us salvation. God knows who we are, what we do, and he loves us. And he has sent his son to die, not for those that deserved it, but for the undeserving, which is every single one of us, myself included. So to give our offerings in verse 2, Paul is encouraging us to prepare. He says, to set aside. He's talking about being intentional. Last week, I was really surprised. I had so much positive feedback from you about the message on saving. A lot of people said that's something that they felt like they should do. They didn't realize that the Bible gave some instruction on that. So I'm glad to hear that. But remember we said last week, saving money should be the second thing you do every time you get paid. Should be the second thing you do. The first thing you should do is you should be generous. You should give. You should share. You should look for your opportunity to make an impact. Too many people are playing Russian roulette giving on Sunday mornings. Well, I'll pull out the wallet. I don't have anything. Or I'll pull out the what? I got $5. I'll pull a 50. Well, he didn't preach that good. See, we start looking through and we start trying to figure out and start making these calculations. No, Paul is telling us that we need to make, you need to make, I need to make a purposeful, conscious, prayerful decision prior in order that we can support the work of the church. So the first thing I do when I get paid is I use the online giving right here at our church, because a lot of times while we're doing giving, I'm doing something else and I'm running around. So I say, this is the first thing I do. I pray and I say, thank you, God, for supplying our family's needs, and here's something I give. So I just do that directly through the website. Someone told me this week, I don't carry checks. Well, you can do it right through the website. We've tried to do that so there'd be no reason why somebody can't give. Now it just comes down to, will you or won't you? And he says here, we should store it up. I want to give you a challenge for this year. I appreciate so much that missions is a big part of our denomination. And we have these special missions offerings during the course of the year. We have a missions offering at Easter that helps support our missionaries here in North America, and a missions offering in September that supports what's going on here in the state of Illinois. And then, of course, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which goes around the world. But we've not met any of those goals over the last year. We fell short on all of them, if I'm recalling correctly. And so our family's always had this family fun jar. We take, you know, coins and we throw it in there, and whenever it fills up, we go eat ice cream or go eat a meal out or something. Not really something that we don't do when we don't have family fun jar money. I mean, sometimes you just need a McFlurry. And so you start figuring these things out. And I said, you know, what if, did I get an amen on that? What if, instead of putting that money in the family fun jar, what if we put it in a missions jar? So all we did is I said, Caitlin, you're crafty, make us a missions jar. So she made this jar, and we put it on top of the entertainment center. So now when I would walk in and I had change in my pocket or an extra dollar here or something, I would just put it in there. Because normally how I'd give these special gifts, that I would say, okay, well, this sounds like a good amount, and I would write it out. Without really trying, we were just trying to be intentional, we gave 20% more to missions through that offering than we normally give. I'm not bragging. We weren't even trying. We just had the jar there, and we're doing it. I would just challenge you, set up a missions jar in your household this year. Set it up. You got change, you got a small bill, something, you want to put a large bill in there, that's fine. Encourage your children. Just put something in there. And then whenever our missions offerings comes up, you don't have to sit there and wonder, oh, I wonder what I should give. Because it's amazing. You set that aside, you're storing it up, and all of a sudden you have this. Because we're not asking you at that time to not give your normal gift. We're asking you to be generous to help us with missions. And so that's something that we tried that really made a big impact. But you look at this verse and it says that we give as we may prosper. So the question becomes, probably the most repeated question I get when it comes to giving an offering, how much should I give? Do I have to give off my gross? Do I give off my net? Do I have to give a percentage? What am I supposed to give here? I simply say this, as you are blessed, bless. People ask, is it about a tithe? Listen, in your giving, God wants your heart, not your calculator. He doesn't want anything other than your heart to be turned towards Him. It doesn't matter if you give 5%, 10%, 15%. What matters is this. Are you allowing your heart to be moved by God, that you would support the work that's going on? And recognize that this is a growing of your faith as you give. It's not so much the percentage. It is what I like to think of as the principle of prepared giving. Do you give in a way that is prayerful, that is thoughtful, that is being done in order that the ministry might happen, or is it just happening, that's what you had on you? It's so important that we would think about what God is calling us to do. Tithing is great if you're doing it for the right reason, but if you're doing it because a pastor told you to do it, that's the wrong reason. This morning I've asked Terry Morning. Terry's on our praise team. He helps teach with our youth. Terry shared that he has kind of a testimony about what God has taught him about giving. So I asked if he would share for just a few moments what he's learned as well.
All right.
We see that from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. I want you to understand that's the heart of what I'm saying to you today. The heart of what I'm saying to you is give as God moves in your heart. Remember the inexpressible, unbelievable gift of his son. That's all we give. We don't give to pay him back because that's not possible. We give as an acknowledgement of who God is and what he's doing. Because when we fail to acknowledge what God is doing, who do we think is doing it? Us. And so I'm so thankful that Terry also is sharing that same thing, that when we give, when we share, it's a faith-building thing. And we understand that our faith in Christ should lead us to emulate the character of God. In whatever case that might be, just like James 1:5 that tells us when we ask God for wisdom, God gives generously to all. Psalm 37:21, someone shared with me this week, says the righteous is generous and gives. I heard a pastor was hiring a youth pastor into his church, and they were having a big discussion about how much to pay the guy. And so the pastor hadn't been a part of those discussions. He finally came in as they were getting ready to settle on the salary. And so he said, well, what are you going to pay this guy? You know, he's coming in, he's going to work full time. Here's all the things he's going to do. And they said, well, here's the salary we've come up with. And so the pastor stopped for a second. He told me the story years later. He said, what if, instead of seeing how little we could get away with, what if we looked to see how much we could bless this guy? And it wasn't so much that the people were unwilling to be a blessing, they just hadn't thought about it. See, if we don't become strategic and thoughtful and prayerful in what we do, then a lot of times we're always looking at what's the minimum effort. I remember whenever I had to pass my physical fitness test in the Army, and you had to do so many push-ups in 2 minutes. My question wasn't, I wonder how many I can do. The question was, how many do I have to do? And that's what I would hit. And I wouldn't think to try to go past that. I wouldn't think about going beyond just the standard that was put out. A 2013 Christianity Today study shares with us that 10 to 15% of the people in a church provide 50 to 80% of the funding. Now, I don't think that that's even necessarily because they care more. I really think it comes just down to intentionality. We don't think about it. We come in and, I didn't think about my offering today. I'll make it up next week. I'll take care of it next week. Listen, even that kind of misses the point, doesn't it? If we think it's about making something up, it's about, you know, I want to be obedient to God. I want to do what God is calling me to do. I want to do it in the way that God is calling me to do. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 16 one more time because I want you to see the final way that he describes for us to think about our giving. Look at verse 3. It says, when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift. You need to view your giving not as a bill. It's not a bill to be paid. It is a gift to be given. I've been asked before, listen, Pastor Heath, I give to the church, but I know someone who's going on a mission trip. So do you think it's okay if I take what I normally give to the church and I just kind of split it? You know, I'll give part to the church, I'll give part to this mission trip because I've kind of come down to this amount that I like to give. Okay, let's imagine you have twin sons and it's their birthday. Would you buy them one baseball bat and tell them to split it? No, because you would care about both of them. So what I try to say is if God is leading you to be generous in one place, it's unlikely he's leading you to not be generous in another place. As a family, we give. I've read some articles over the last week about why pastors shouldn't give. Well, we're being paid by the church or whatever the case might be. I heard one pastor recently say in his first church, he was bivocational. He worked at a bank, and if he wasn't tithing, he wouldn't get paid by the church. So that was kind of his situation. I'm sure that was difficult. But I look and I say, I'm not just a pastor. I'm just a part of this family. I will never ask you to do anything that I will not be willing to do myself. I have a reach one person in that frame as well that I want to reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ this year. I never ask you to give. I never ask you to go. I never ask you to do. I never ask you to read God's word. I never ask you to pray for our church or pray for our community or pray for your marriages without doing it myself. And I want us to see that God is calling us to be generous in so many areas. We support the church. We support some other areas as well. Gospel for Asia is on our hearts. A ministry that's really reaching out, just people that live right in India and Asia. And we just support. We support a young man over there as he goes to school and different things going on in his life. But we don't rob from the church to be generous somewhere else. Generosity is not generosity if you're just shifting it around. Generosity means God has moved in your heart and you want to do something. And when you view, like in verse 3, your offerings as a gift and not as a bill, it changes our perspective. And in fact, even the church should give gifts. Look again at verse 1. He says, I directed the churches of Galatia. We must display generosity not just as individuals, but as a church. Nearly 14% of our church budget goes out the door. And that's what should happen. We help supply food for Parker Center next door. We help supply scholarships for people going on mission trips. We also give to the cooperative program. Every time you give, money goes towards our missionaries. That's important because if everything just stays in-house, we're forgetting that we haven't been called just to reach this corner or just to reach this community. We've been called to reach the world. And so we recognize that when we give, it's important for us all to come together and to give. And so I want to say to you, if you're giving to our church, thank you so much. Thank you for your generosity. But recognize, this church back in 1 Corinthians 16, the Corinthian church had fallen behind on what they needed to do. In fact, Paul had previously encouraged them to give this, and it hadn't happened as quickly as it needed to. That's why he's giving this admonishment again. There are some areas of our church budget we are falling behind as well. Now, we have to have real important conversations about that, because if we continue to fall behind, we continue to take from things that we've saved, there are going to have to be places that things might need to get cut. And we don't want to have to do that. I think, as I look around, this is a crazy exciting time at FBC. We're seeing people not just come into the attendance of our church, but come into the life and the ministry of our church. That's exciting. As we start to have conversations about, you know, we're starting to have a lot of people fill up the chairs, we might need to think about having a second worship service. We might need to think about having a staff member one day. You know, this church is starting to outgrow what I can do. I know you think I can do an awful lot, but in some ways, I feel terrible on a morning when I don't get to visit with everybody, or I don't get to make a contact with everybody. I heard a pastor one time say, a really good pastor can pastor 100 people. A fantastic pastor can pastor 125. So I look and I say, we could use a staff member that could help us oversee ministry from the nursery all the way up to college. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be incredible to have someone that you could go to that could be a help to you other than just me? But for us to do these things, we're going to have to be obedient in our giving. We're going to have to make sure that we are doing what we have been called to do. And so as we look through this today, I want you to understand some very simple things. Again, when you give, when you're generous, it builds your faith, it builds the kingdom. I encourage you in this way. First of all, just give. Just like we talked about last time with saving. Someone says, well, I can't save very much, I can only do this. Then do that. You might say, well, I can only give this. Then give that. But you seek in your heart what God has called you to do. I'm not asking you to go home and feel bad because Pastor Heath preached on giving. I'm asking you to say, God, what are you calling me to do? You've heard a testimony of faithfulness today. I can share with you. I bet we could have people all over this room who could share about how God has blessed as they simply remember, I'm giving this as an expression of what God has given to me. So you know what? We're not calling you to a percentage. Some churches ask you to write down the exact percentage you're going to give. I will never do that. I think that's crazy. Because you can't write down your heart. That's what God's called us to. Remember that your sharing is not a bill. It is a gift. And when you share, you're simply showing stewardship. If God has given it to you, how are you using it for Him? And don't forget, the most important stewardship that God has called you to is stewardship of your own soul. We recognize that we give offerings, we give gifts because God has given an inexpressible, indescribable gift. You can die and know you're going to heaven if you accept the gift of his son. That's it. That is the only way. There is no other way to be saved or to have any hope of eternity apart from God's son, Jesus Christ. And if you have never shown proper stewardship of your own soul and acknowledge that you're a sinner and that Jesus is a savior and you need him to come into your life and to cleanse your sins and to give you a brand new day, you can do that today. If you are a believer and you say, you know what, I've not really given, sometimes I can't afford to give. Listen, I say you can't afford not to. I'm telling you that not as your pastor, I'm telling you that as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. I have seen what God has done as I've simply been obedient to him.